And as always, I always make it available for other people to chime in at this part of fellowship.
This goes right along with some of the stuff, but I mentioned I've been reading stuff about the Reformation. And I did, I have no idea who reads Facebook posts, but I had three points. One was that we've all benefited from it, whether we like it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Don't need to go into that. Second one was, I think that's been covered in the teaching, salvation by grace.
Mm-hmm.
And there are today Protestants and even denominations that have for their official doctrine salvation by grace, but it's a grace but. But you got to have some works, you know.
James. That goes back to the book of James.
Right. Well, and they can pull a lot of other things out of context too. It's, you know, there's other verses that they pull out of context too. But you got to have some works. For one thing, we can't have any works until we get salvation to begin with. Because it says we're dead in trespasses and sin. So dead man doesn't really do much work, right? And the other thing is, salvation by works glorifies man. Salvation by, or supposed salvation by works, I should say.
Right.
Glorifies man. Salvation by grace glorifies God.
Yeah.
If you believe that you're saved by grace, you're by works, you think you didn't need a Savior, you're missing the boat. And salvation by grace glorifies God. It's the only way to glorify God between the two things. And the third thing was, there was a lot of contention over, I mean, 50 or so years before that, Gutenberg invented the printing press.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther translated the Bible into German. Tyndale translated into English. I looked it up sometime in the last couple of weeks, how many languages it's translated into now. And I don't remember now, but I think I put it on the Facebook place. I mean, there's thousands of them.
Well, they never tell you that the bestseller, that you don't see on the New York Times bestseller list, the bestseller of all books in the world is the Bible.
Right. So that was the third point. I mean, read the Bible.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful teaching, but I'm not going to just listen to that and not verify it.
Oh, of course not.
And, I spend a lot more time reading the Bible than listening to teachings.
Yes.
So we all can read the Bible, and don't let anybody ever tell you, oh, it's okay to read, but the professionals are the ones that they do the study. So just leave the studying up to the elitist, because you're stupid, right? So
that's
kind of the Roman
point.
Catholic mentality, too, at the time. They didn't trust the individual believers to be able to read the Bible. And that, I mean,
it was more than that. It was just a power thing. They didn't feel like they had power.
Right, they wanted to have power, but that was their justification. Well, they'll screw it up somehow. Well, it was already pretty well screwed up, you know, by the elitists. So, three things. We've all benefited. It's salvation by grace, and that glorifies God. And read the Bible, you know. And it doesn't matter what version it is. They're all good. They're all bad, you know. So, read the Bible.
Yeah, truth is simple for the most part. There's very few things in God's Word that are difficult to understand. And most of the time, that's because religion has crept in that made it hard to understand.
Well, something that I have stations, I think it was you, talking about I am one God. You know,
the one true God,
the one
yeah.
True God. And so those of us who've been instructed that Jesus Christ is not God, we know that there is one God, yet even instructed ones still come up with the whole, don't you have to have a relationship with Jesus? And I was, one thing I asked Jeff, today we were talking about this, we've been talking about it for a while, and I said, well, how does this relationship with Jesus work, actually? How do they justify this, and how does it actually work? Because how do you have a relationship with Jesus? We know we can have, is it telekinetic? Is it, do they telepathically talk with him? I mean, like with God, we can, right? We can talk with God in our mind because he's everywhere present. How does it work with Jesus? And we couldn't come up with any kind of a real explanation on how they justify how you could possibly have a relationship with Jesus, other than the relationship of him being the first fruits, our brother in Christ.
It's those the first step of the journey.
Those were the things that we had nothing to do with. We didn't build a relationship with Jesus, or with Jesus Christ, or with our relationship is with God.
Well, there were several things I left out of the teaching to keep it shorter, but one of them was that if we were to have a relationship with Jesus, it wouldn't be with Jesus, it would be with Christ. Because the man, Jesus, is his body is gone, his soul life is gone, and what's left is the Christ. That's the spirit life that's still alive today. And so if you are going to have a relationship with him, that would be with the Christ. And that's how it would work. But even then, his life was that we could have a relationship with the Father. And stopping there is like stopping along the journey and not to going all the way to the destination. Say, oh, I'm just going to stop here and enjoy the view. Well, you know, it's great, you know, getting, you know, to know Jesus Christ through the Word and realizing what he's done for us, but we've got to get to the destination.
And that's what Jesus Christ lived and died for us. Because his relationship was with God.
Yes. He didn't have somebody in the middle that he had a relationship with. Right?
Right.
And then also, there's the verse in the Bible where it talks in the Gospels. I think it was one of the verses I didn't read here. It talks about a little leaven leaveneth the whole bunch. You know, and if you're going to have a little bit of Trinity doctrine, you might as well do the whole Trinity. And it says in Galatians, if you're going to do the law, do the whole law. If you're going to start to give Jesus Christ God-like properties of being more than he is, then you might as well go the whole way and be full-blown Trinity and start praying to Mary and everything else, you know, and just join the Catholic Church. What the heck? I mean, be honest. Let's just be pagan about it, you know? But I don't think that's what I'm going to do.
So the idea of having a relationship with Jesus, a dead person, a physical soul of dead, is all just made up crap.
It's becoming popular, has emotional appeal. Because remember, I was reading in John 14, those disciples and apostles were really upset that Jesus was leaving. I mean, wouldn't any sane person on the face of the earth want to have a relationship with the greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth? Well, heck yes. A relationship with Jesus? Oh, yeah, well, I'm in for that. Except, what does the Word say? It says he's the path to God. I guess by default we have a relationship with him that he's our brother, but I was talking with John Nessel on email, and he says, well, it's like this. You know, people want to talk to Jesus. It's like you can talk to your TV, but it's not going to answer you back. Yeah, I love John for saying that. That's a wonderful quote.
I yell at the TV all the time
when I'm watching
football.
Yeah.
Back to you. Well, they're getting now with voice recognition. All our devices are actually start talking to us.
It's just another distraction of the enemy to keep us from a vital, powerful relationship with God Almighty himself. That's all it is. And it looks good. Wow, Jesus is wonderful, you know, or Christ, or whatever you want to, you know, whatever name you want to use. Oh, it's wonderful. It's not a bad thing, is it? Does it keep you from a direct relationship with God Almighty? Does it distract from anywhere? Anyway, if I spend 10 minutes with Jesus, or Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, if I spend, that's 10 minutes I'm not spending with God Almighty. And what does God ultimately want? Relationship with us.
Well, we literally know a person who will be unnamed, who goes into her closet and prays to Jesus on a regular basis. I won't mention any names because I don't want to embarrass anybody and make people sound bad, but it, again, who's she talking to? You know, if she's talking to Jesus here in Denver, with somebody trying to do that in New Jersey, what about somebody in Florida in their closet? Which one's getting through?
Well, not only that, but, you know, I don't know what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives, sitting at the right hand of God. That's between him and God. Right? I don't think we have the authority, the power, or the right to tell God what Jesus Christ is going to do right now.
Yeah, we don't summon him like some spirit.
Right. And that's kind of the height of arrogance to think that you're smarter than God and you can tell God where Jesus Christ needs to be.
Well, it almost goes to the point of spitting in God's face to say, I'm going to have a relationship with Jesus instead of God.
And Jesus Christ faced
it. I mean, he went through crucifixion. They beat him to a pulp. I mean, they nailed... We did this a couple years ago out in my backyard. I was doing some landscaping. We had this big steel stake that was about a foot long, and I took a sludgehammer, and we were hammering that into the wood. And I said, he literally had something like that hammered in through his hand. And you got a lot of nerve endings in your hand. You got tendons. I mean, that would just... He took stuff like that for us. And the reason why wasn't so that we could have a relationship with him, so we could have the direct access.
You know, if you look at the first commandment, what is the first commandment?
Yep. Worship the one Lord God, and him only shalt thou worship. Yeah.
So if you're going to put something before God...
Even if it's Jesus.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't put something before God. And I know in our everyday life we always do. You know, we're not perfect, and we may not put God first in everything, but to literally make a decision to put something before God, I think, is going down a path that you shouldn't do. Because it is. I mean, what did Jesus Christ say? He said, love God.
Yeah.
And then love your neighbor. But he didn't say, love him. He said, love God. So I think it is a fine line between believing in the Trinity, if you're going to put Jesus Christ in that type of position. So, I would think that just to be honest with yourself, we're just going to put God first, acknowledge him in every way, and give him the glory and thankfulness. And I think I know that the word says we do that, and then we have good things. But it does say in Proverbs, if you don't do that, you don't get the good things. So I kind of like living on the good side.